Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Stack Overflow podcast, a place to talk all things software and technology. I am Ben Popper, the director of content here at Stack Overflow, joined as I often am by my colleague and collaborator, our wonderful blog editor, Ryan Donovan. Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Hey, Ben. Thanks for the flattery on this opening.
Oh, you know, I like to butter you up. So today we're going to be talking about a few things that we have mentioned on many podcast episodes and in blog posts. We have a great sponsored episode from the folks at Intuit, and we're going to be talking about microservices, containers, and the service mesh that folks can use to help all those applications talk to one another in an intelligible way so that you can orchestrate, you see what I did there, everything that's going on and make sure it's running smoothly. So I'd like to welcome our guests today, Anil and Yasin. Welcome to the Stack Overflow podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yasin, let me start with you. Tell folks who you are and a little bit about how you got into the world of software and technology and how, you know, your journey has sort of led you to the gig that you're at today.
Yeah, good. Yeah, my name is Yasin Simeonov, and almost 20 years ago, I founded a company, internet service provider in East Europe. It's Bulgaria. I'm Bulgarian originally. What is interesting that time that the market was so small that I couldn't afford purchasing like big telecom equipment like networking routers and switches. So I ended up building Linux boxes that act as routers, and I was coding the logic on top of it by myself. I sold the company when Bulgaria joined European Union. I just didn't want to compete with the big Western telecoms that came to the market. Yeah, and I consider myself a networking person, so my experience is from pulling physical cables and configuring routers and switches to network virtualization and application level networking, which is actually what service mesh is, application level networking.
That's very cool. We won't focus on it today, but the idea that an open source project like Linux would enable somebody to build a local ISP where the hardware was not available or affordable, it's kind of a very cool story in itself. So cool, a story for another day, for another time. And Yasin, yeah, what is your role these days at Intuit, and like sort of what do you focus on day to day?
I am senior product manager at Intuit, and I'm responsible for the API gateway and service mesh at Intuit. And we'll talk more during the talk probably.
Great. And Anil, how about yourself?
Hey, everyone. My name is Anil. I'm a principal engineer at Intuit, and I focus on service communications, which includes API gateway and service mesh. And to start about my journey into the tech industry or software industry, so I was always fascinated about, like, I mean, what computers could do. And that led me to, like, you know, start my bachelor's degree in computer science back in India. Then I started out as a front-end engineer. I wasn't getting a kick out of it, I would say. And that's when I pursued my master's in computer science at UT Austin. Took some very good courses and made some very good connections in distributed systems. And that's when I joined a PaaS-based healthcare startup based out of San Diego, and did like some very good work there in distributed systems. And when I was looking for the next challenge, that's when I came across the API Gateway team at Intuit. I joined Intuit in 2016. And I was amazed at the scale, and I was very thrilled at like how API Gateway could help developers like offload their security concerns and then focus more on the business logic. And since the inception of Kubernetes and Service Mesh, I've been working to bring these benefits to the developers at Intuit. And in this journey, I've also been focusing on like open sourcing some of the innovation that that our team does at Intuit.
Throughout this series, we've been talking about the microservices at Intuit. What is a service mesh, and how does it fit into microservices?
Well, let me take it at a high level, and I will let Anil add more color. So, service mesh is a dedicated infrastructure layer that allows people transparently to add capabilities like traffic management, security, observability, without including this into their own code, in their code.
Yeah, to unpack that a little bit. So you can think of service mesh in the context of microservices as a set of intelligent proxies, which are often referred to as sidecars that sit alongside these microservices. And they mediate and control all the traffic that flows between these microservices, right? And the set of intelligent proxies are often referred to as something called data plane, which is where the traffic or the data actually flows. And then there's something called a control plane, which is nothing but a set of components that actually program these proxies, right? So, and that's basically the anatomy of a service mesh. And there are several implementations of this service mesh. Istio is the one that we use at Intuit, or we build the service mesh at Intuit on top of Istio. There are other implementations like Linkerd, Consul, Kuma, to name a few.
And so I guess, you know, a basic high-level understanding of service mesh is really helpful to me. What sort of problems have you personally had to deal with when it comes to microservices working together, adding in things like containers? Walk us through a few examples of some of the work you've done on the job, or you know, if it's useful, stuff you've dealt with clients or partners, so we can understand a bit of where the pain point is and where a service mesh might come in handy.
As an early adopter, we faced a lot of challenges. However, everything that we have been learning and the solutions that we have built, we contribute back to the community. That's why during KubeCon in Detroit, we were recognized as a top end user community in Cloud Native Compute Foundation. And in terms of service mesh, we open sourced a project called Admiral. And I think there is no better person than Anil to talk about Admiral. Anil, can you take it from here?
Sure. Yeah. Before we talk about Admiral, let me talk about like why we needed Admiral, right? So at Intuit, we decided to use hundreds of discrete networks, and we run Kubernetes clusters in each of these networks. And these are divided at based on the business cases. And the reason we do that is to like have a better security posture and reduce the blast radius. But given that, that brings in a host of challenges. How do you connect these discrete networks? And how do you provide this service discovery across these discrete networks? So we use Istio, and Istio obviously has an opinionated way of how you solve this problem for these discrete networks. And we took the opportunity to there was nothing out there in the industry that actually was doing the automation at the scale at which we wanted to do. And that's when we started building this Admiral project, which provides service discovery across hundreds of discrete Kubernetes clusters and networks, and makes a service mesh possible across these clusters.
You mentioned the security. You know, anytime you have services exposed to the wider internet, there's attack surfaces. So how does the service mesh actually make those services more secure?
So talking about the security aspect of it, as you know, Intuit is a fintech company, and we move financial data, and we store financial data at a massive scale. And some of the security issues we see is usually services using expired secrets for service-to-service communication, TLS versions that are compromised, and also keeping this communication between the services within Intuit's network and keeping it secure, right? And service mesh automates all of this and makes this transparent to all the service developers, right? For example, if you had to do a TLS version upgrade, let's say from TLS 1.2 to TLS 1.3, the developers do not have to do anything, pretty much, right? And let me quote a very interesting thing. So this is cool, but not super impressive. So what is super impressive is, for example, at Intuit, we use something called quantum ciphers for the TLS communication on service mesh, right? And what that actually means is, even the quantum computers cannot break these ciphers, right? So, and this innovation, we contributed that back to Istio so that the community can also be prepared for the post-quantum era.
Oh, the post-quantum era. All right. Are we in the quantum era? Are we still pre-quantum?
I think we are pre-quantum. It'll take some time for the quantum computers to become a reality. But the point being, It shouldn't be too late, right? If we discover it after we are compromised, then yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're future-proofing the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we talked about security. How does the dev writing service code integrate it with a mesh? And yeah, what are some of the other sort of major value propositions that you would put forth alongside security?
And great question. This is actually one of the main benefits of service mesh. It abstracts away the traffic management and the security piece from the code, and developers that way can focus on the business logic to code the business logic, and all the security is magically taken care for them. And Anil, do you want to explain a bit more about the magic?
So yeah, so let me start on that. So at Intuit, like what we have or what we categorize developer operations are as day zero and day one, right? So day zero is when a service is born. And what we have done with like the service mesh is integration is that, so they would get service mesh as a day zero, like with day zero, right? Meaning they would have their sidecar that sits right next to their microservice. And day one is when, so meaning they are all equipped for this service-to-service communication from day zero, right? And on day one, there are two types of operations. One is they start consuming another service over service mesh, and that's where they need to make an endpoint change, right? Because an endpoint is what you refer to when you're calling a service. And there's also another set of changes that they do, which is the traffic routing changes, right? For example, like I want to failover the traffic for my service from one region to another. So that works as of today using GitOps, and this configuration is done through Istio custom resources.
Do you do any of the traffic routing for like deploying new versions of a service into production?
Yeah. So we use something called Argo rollouts at Intuit. And the way that works is, so rollouts provides a way for like deploying the new version, scaling it to the number of replicas that you need to support this progressive role, right? I just want to switch 1% of my traffic to this new version so that I don't impact all of my users, right? And the traffic over service mesh honors that progressive delivery that is happening, that is being actually enforced by Argo rollouts, right? So the service mesh routing and the Argo rollouts progressive delivery work together. That makes it possible to progressively roll out the new versions of software.
So I'm curious, when new devs come in, what are they most surprised that the service mesh does for them?
The credential management or the certificate rotation. Like oftentimes, at least the developers at Intuit are like, one of the first things they do is like having the load balancer and having the certificates be provisioned for it. Even though it's automated and whatnot, it's something that needs to be done. And now with service mesh, when we tell them, like, I mean, you don't have to do it anymore. It's automated and you don't even have to, like, you know, reference them or use these secrets anywhere. That's something that takes them by surprise.
Right. And how do you deal with some of this, you know, the common sort of downsides of a service mesh, like, you know, runtime instances are going to increase and, you know, each service has got to call through some sidecar proxy, adding a step. You know, when you think about the common complaints people have, how would you address them?
So I think one of the biggest complaint we have seen is the cost, right? You are now adding a sidecar and then that increases the cost, right? And we have been able to justify that cost with like the performance and better security posture, but that is something that, I mean, is always something that comes up. Now, the other things that do usually come up is the debuggability aspect of it, because the service mesh provides observability like on both ends, both the client and the service, because now you have the proxy on the client side. That is something that the developers at Intuit are not used to, right? I mean, usually the client side observability aspect is usually instrumented by the client. Now that is being done automatically for them via the service mesh. So there is some confusion around like what happens on the client side. But then we have addressed that through like documentation and whatnot, and that is now changing. There's a shift in like thinking about that observability aspect.
I mean, I know observability is a big thing right now. Can you talk about a little bit about the benefits that you have by having the observability in the proxy and not in the client?
Sure. Yeah. The biggest benefit is like adoption of the standards like OpenTelemetry, which comes out of the box with like the service mesh proxy. The service teams can still add metrics on top of, like for example, they will still need to add the application level metrics, right? But the network or the application networking is something, all the metrics related to that are automatically available, and they don't have to write any code pretty much to get those.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you say that. Something we've heard in this conversation is about observability is that OpenTelemetry avoids the vendor lock-in, provides you with, you know, maybe a faster pace of improvement given it's a bit more open source and community driven. And so kind of ties in, you know, going back to what you said about KubeCon, to the overall approach here, which is to have something where you can be both a first party contributor, but also looking upstream and downstream to collaborating with people on this. For folks who want to learn more about this, you know, who are interested in it, either for their company or just as a developer who wants to learn, where would you suggest they go? Is there a place where folks can do tutorials or demos of this kind of stuff or understand how it might fit into their organization?
I think it is exciting time to get started with Service Mesh now when Istio is part of Cloud Native Compute Foundation. And also all service meshes are trying to align to Gateway API in Kubernetes. So if folks are interested in the technology, come join us at Intuit.
All right.
Yeah, just to add, like, to find more about what we are doing, I think Intuit Engineering blog on Medium would be a good place. And the couple of articles I would like to highlight, we are embarking on a journey of application abstraction to like unlock the next in our development velocity. And we have recently blogged about that. And the quantum ciphers, the interesting thing that I just mentioned, that is also on one of the blogs if you want to find more details.
Okay. Yeah, we'd love to include that in the show notes. 10x, you've written about quantum. I'm not going to try to put a number before the X, but there'll be a big number there, right? And then, yeah, I guess last question, you know, you mentioned quantum, but let's look out just, you know, like a slightly shorter amount of time. Are there things on the roadmap that you're excited about or that you've announced and you're working on, you know, for the next six months to a year? What do you see coming online that you think will improve the experience for folks using Service Mesh?
Thing that we are like focused right now for next 6 months is like this application abstraction. So we want everything around the application to be fully abstracted away and developers to focus only on the business logic. This means also the network endpoint. Is it through the API gateway? Is it through the service mesh? Developers should not care about it. Anu?
Yeah, definitely. So just to add on top of what Yasin said, so the network abstraction or the application network abstraction, I think this is to, again, abstract the network from the developers. The service mesh already does that. Now, the idea is to take this network abstraction outside of service mesh and service mesh more of be a vehicle to drive this, right? So when services call other services, they should be referencing just the names, and rest of the magic just happens like through the sidecast, right? And that's what we are embarking on. The other interesting things that we see in this space is Istio recently announced something called Ambient Mesh, which is sidecar-less mesh. And right, like I talked about before, I mean, cost is definitely one of the factors that we want to look into. And we would like to explore Ambient Mesh because we can, mm-hmm. Save costs and at the same time get all the benefits that Service Mesh provides.
I don't think I know what Ambient Mesh is, so maybe just define it a little bit or give people a teaser.
The way Mesh works is, like I said before, through something called sidecars that sit right next to the proxies, right? Now, what Istio did with the Ambient Mesh is you separate the L4 and L7 capabilities in Service Mesh. So the proxy is responsible today for both L4, which is the mutual TLS termination, and also L7, right, the traffic routing. Now, with Ambient Mesh, these two capabilities have been separated out, and you do L4 on something called a C-tunnel, and you do L7 through an external proxy. So, and that eliminates the need for having a sidecar, and then the mesh becomes more ambient, so to speak.
Okay, very cool. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. It is that time of the show. I want to shout out somebody who came on to Stack Overflow asks a great question and helps spread some knowledge around the community. Today, we have a great question badge going to, I'm not making up this username, it is Help Me Stack Overflow My Only Hope. Excellent username. Detect whether input element is focused within React.js. If you need help with a question like that, we have got an answer for you. And luckily, somebody asked that question, and so they got a badge for being curious. I am Ben Popper. I am the director of content here at Stack Overflow. You can always find me on Twitter at Ben Popper. I have the old style blue check mark. That's the real me. And if you want to reach us with questions or suggestions about the podcast, just email us, podcast@stackoverflow.com. And if you like what you hear, leave us a rating and a review. It really helps.
I'm Ryan Donovan. I edit the blog here at Stack Overflow. You can find the blog at stackoverflow.blog. And I'm currently on Twitter at @RThorDonovan. No blue check mark.
That's right. Now all the plain belly snitches are back in style.
I'm Yasin Semyonov, Senior Product Manager at Intuit. You can find me on Twitter without blue icon and LinkedIn as well. Thanks.
I'm Anil, Principal Engineer at Intuit. And you can read about Admiral and history of contributions that we have on Admiral open source.
Terrific. We'll include the link in the show notes. Well, thanks to both of you for coming on. And for everyone who's listening, we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon.